99.9 Z Country, and we are here with a very special guest. Of course, a lot of concerns surrounding the coronavirus right now, and Nick Brown is on the phone with me to talk about his experience. Nick, first of all, we want to let you know that our hearts go out to you and your family for the experience that you've had, and I know it's been a struggle, and I know you're coming out on top, so we are all certainly glad. We're all certainly pulling for you to have a full recovery, but thank you so much for coming on the air and explaining to our listeners a little bit about what you went through.
Well, I appreciate that, and I am glad to be on the line with you this morning.
So, Nick, you are considered one of the younger patients that has had a serious case of the coronavirus. A lot of people talking about, you know, oh, it's the older ones that are really going to have problems and things like that. But what we are learning is that the coronavirus really doesn't pick favorites. It kind of strikes where it does. And even if you're young in your 30s and 40s, you're a testament to that it can become very serious. Tell me a little bit about your journey through this virus and what you thought at the beginning and how that progressed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the very beginning, I just kind of went into a stat care thinking I had flu-like symptoms. All I had was a headache and a fever, and then I just started to develop a cough, and at that point felt like I should probably just go get a formal diagnosis just to make sure what I had. And so I actually went into the stat care there in Dover, and through the process, they initially thought that I had maybe pneumonia. And so they had started treating me with an albuterol treatment. And during that initial treatment, I actually passed out within the stat care. And the Dover EMS transported me to the Cleveland Clinic Dover, where they began the process of trying to figure out what was going on with me. And that's where I initially received the first test that came back positive for the COVID-19.
Now, what were your thoughts? Of course, I know that your wife is a wonderful person, and she is a nurse, and she has been proactive about telling people to really follow the guidelines of Dr. Acton of the state and things like that. So what kind of precautions then, as you then tested positive, were your family taking?
Well, I mean, immediately they put me into isolation. So from the very beginning, they completely removed me from my family. So I was not allowed around my family. The nursing staff, when they came in, they wore complete coverage, PPE. If we're talking face masks, eye coverage, full gowns. And so they took those precautions to protect themselves and keep the virus from spreading to them.
And this is such an important matter because things got very serious for you. I would consider to be a younger man. From what I understand, you were fairly healthy going into this. Do you think there were any factors that may have put you more at risk to have gotten this seriously?
I don't think so. I mean, and that's the crazy thing about this virus. This virus really doesn't care who you are. And I know, you know, it impacts people very differently. And so, yes, I am, for the most part, a 38-year-old, pretty healthy guy. I do have a childhood history of asthma, and so I don't know if that was an issue that caused this virus to kind of latch on. But it basically just shut down my entire respiratory system. And there was a time where I was on full life support. You know, the hospital had reached out to my wife and talked to her about what the next steps are because they didn't know that they may not be able to bring me back.
And that is such a scary situation, not only for you, because, you know, obviously you're isolated in this room. You're not allowed to have any contact with your family. They're not allowed to come and see you. And to be facing that kind of situation, not only for you, but for your wife and your children, that had to have been a horrible experience to not be able to be together at that time.
Well, this whole process has been a horrible experience. I mean, even when I got to the point where they did transfer me to the ICU, you know, I ran into issues within ICU where I had reactions to certain drugs and I would have hallucinations and these just crazy dreams and visions. I mean, the whole thing was just very upsetting.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Now, give us a little bit of a timeline from when you first started experiencing symptoms to how long it took for you to get to that point in the ICU and then moving on to where you first started recovering.
Sure, and I'm still actually a little fuzzy on the timeline because I don't remember everything, and my wife and I really haven't had a chance to sit down and go over it. But I do believe the March 6th is when I first initially started feeling the headache and the fever come on. And then it wasn't until March 11th when I started getting the cough and felt like I needed to go to stat care. And then from March 11th, it just kind of spiraled to that point. So it was about two or three days where I was at Union Hospital, and they were taking care of me in the ICU there before things really started to turn bad. And that's when the Cleveland Clinic main campus had reached out and said that they really wanted me up at the main campus to take care of me in their NICU.
Yeah, what an experience you have had. So during this time, of course, there's several more things I want to get to, but I just want to take a pause and have our listeners think about not only the situation that you were put in physically, where you were dealing and battling with this virus, but also the isolation away from your family and your family being away from you. What kind of thoughts would you have to pass along to our listeners about really taking the directives that they're placing on us to take them seriously so that, you know, they don't find themselves in this situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't say it enough to the people I talk to that, you know, you could be a carrier and give this to somebody and not fully understand the impact as to what they're going to go through. I mean, I would have never imagined in a million years that so quickly I could become so ill and be facing death and not know, you know, kind of what my next steps are. And so, you know, that's the one thing I can tell folks is how important the social isolation is and just staying at home and working from home and following the guidelines that are there, because you have no idea the impact you may have on a loved one or even somebody that you don't know that you give to. Just like I have no idea where I got it from, you know, and I'm sure the person, if they were ever find out, would feel horrible about this, but you just have no idea the impact and what could happen to somebody.
Well, and Nick, our hearts go out to you for what you've been through. And we know that not every case turns out like yours. Of course, you're on the steps now to recovery, but there are people out there who don't make it through this virus, and but you're one of the lucky ones. Now, you probably wouldn't consider it luck. You have a lot of faith, and you have expressed that as helping you get through this time. Tell me a little bit about your experience and how you have kind of kept up your faith and things to help you get through this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am short of nothing but a miracle. There were a lot of people who sat behind me praying. People all over the world. I mean, my wife engaged with people. She's in a master's degree program for theology right now, so she's got a lot of church connections. And so she reached out globally to the folks that she knows, and they just begin to pray for me. And I'll be honest, I mean, that was the difference, because even talking to the Cleveland Clinic doctors today, they don't know what fixed me. They threw everything at me hoping that something would take effect, but they still today don't know exactly what medication or what they did that turned me around.
Wow. And of course, I know your care staff that took care of you, you have sent a beautiful message and it's circulating the media. It really kind of points to the fact of isolation. When you're going through this coronavirus, you're going through it alone, but only with those care teams that are with you, the doctors, the nurses, and things like that. And you formed a special appreciation for them and left that on their window. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're going through this with isolation, those folks are your family, and they treated me like family. Like, when you are on life support, you can't do anything for yourself. Even, you know, normal bodily functions, things that you take for granted each and every day, they have to come in and take care of those for you. And so it was through that I saw these selfless people that just, I could feel their love and their compassion for me. And, I had never been in the hospital prior to this. And it was very touching to me. And I just felt God say to me through all of this, you know, I am taking care of you through these people. And I saw it time and time again. It was very humbling to me for them to come in and care for me in the fashion that they did. And so that's why I wrote the letter on the glass, was because I was touched by their love and support for me. And it was just amazing through this whole thing. Like there, I couldn't even tell you what my nurses' faces looked like because they were covered with PPE. But I can tell you what their voices were because they would come in each night and they would talk to me and they would console me. And they were just such amazing people.
Wow, that's a great testament, not only to yourself, but to the care team who are working so hard to take care of the patients. So our listeners, obviously, who are hearing about your story, who are hearing this interview right now, are going to be wondering, how are you doing? Have they given you a specific road to recovery? When can you expect to be back to what you were before you got the virus?
Yeah, so actually, I mean, today I feel as if I wasn't even sick at all. Cleveland Clinic has done an amazing job of taking care of me. I was in the hospital, obviously, for 17 days. And so by the time I got out, I have been symptom-free. So they have just asked that I kind of stay away from people for my own good because of all the chemicals and drugs that they threw at me. My immune system has been compromised a little. And so their biggest concern at this point is actually me picking something up from the general public. So kind of my roadmap going forward is to stay in isolation and to just kind of work from home probably for the next few weeks until I build my immune system back up to where I can fight off something if something were to attack me again.
Right. Well, you've given us such good information, Nick Brown, coronavirus patient from Tuscarawas County. And Nick, I can't tell you how happy we all are that that you are recovering and that you're a story of hope, but also a story of warning to everyone out there who maybe are taking it very lightly and are not taking the orders from the governor and from our local health department and things like that. They're not taking it as seriously. It really only takes one person to have the virus to spread it around. And you're a testament of that, you know, you didn't even know where that virus came from, but your life was greatly impacted and could have taken a completely different turn. And we all here in the area and at the station are so grateful that it took the right turn and you're recovering. But of course, you know, would you give us that warning again, just some information about how serious this can be? And you don't have to be in contact with someone that is known to be a virus carrier. It could be out there among anyone.
Absolutely. I mean, and they don't even know if it's completely, whether it's, you know, airborne or not. And so it's just one of those things that, you know, isolation, I know it can be a pain. And I know, you know, we're all used to our day-to-day lives, and this is just a setback in what we're doing. But it is so important to follow those guidelines because you just don't know the impact that you could have on somebody.
Absolutely. Nick Brown, thank you so much. Your story is not only heart-wrenching because we know it could happen to any one of us, and we know you've got a family at home that could have been greatly impacted had things turned the other way, but also a message of hope in knowing that that one of our own right here in Tuscarawas County has beaten it, and so far you are in the recovery phase, and we're so grateful for that. We're grateful that you're able to now be at home with your family and recover from this. And we cannot thank you enough for talking not only to us, but to all of our listeners and getting that message out to them. So thank you so much for taking time today to talk with us.
It's been my pleasure.